Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. This evening, Thursday, November 17th, at Elastic in Chicago, Illinois, the improvised music series presents the G. Fjorstad Trio with trombonist Steve Swell, 8:30 p.m. CST. And tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. CST, Air MW presents the Chicago Bihiro album debut series, Night 2, with Kiro Shio. For more information, elasticarts.org. Saxophonist and composer Rudresh Mahanthapa's Hero Trio makes its DC area debut tonight at Wolf Trap in Vienna, Virginia. For more information, wolftrap.org. Also this evening, Sextet, featuring vocalist Sarah Serpa at The Stone in New York City, 8:30 p.m. For more information, thestonenyc.com. Two performances coming up in Washington, D.C. Saxophonist Javon Jackson and poet Nikki Giovanni perform selections from their release, The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni, with special guests at the Kennedy Center's Terrace Theater tomorrow night, Friday, November 18th, 7:30 p.m. For more information, kennedy-center.org. And percussionist and drummer Nasir Abadi leads his group, Supernova, in a celebratory birthday performance. His, marking his 75th, with guest trumpeter Sean Jones at Blue Alley on Monday, November 21st, 7 and 9 p.m. For more information, bluesalley.com. Clarinetist Annette Cohen and Quartet Chino will be at Amp by Strathmore in North Bethesda, Maryland tomorrow night, 6:30 and 9 p.m. For more information, strathmore.org. Trumpeter Michael Sarian's Living at the End of the World tour concludes with the last two performances at the Pausa Art House in Buffalo, New York tomorrow night and at Tapestry in Toronto, Ontario, Canada on Saturday night. For more information, michaelsarian.com. Vocalist Somi performs Broadway blockbusters at Zankel Hall inside of Carnegie Hall in New York City tomorrow night, Friday, November 18th, 9 p.m. And on Sunday, November 20th, saxophonist Miguel Zignon and pianist Luis Perdomo. For more information, carnegiehall.org. Tomorrow night, the Terry Rozier Piano Trio at Gateways Inn in Lenox, Mass., 6 p.m. For more information, gatewaysinn.org. Continuing through tomorrow night, composer Catherine Krister Hennix's Kamigaku Ensemble at Roulette in New York City, 7:30 p.m. For more information, roulette.org. The annual Artists and Friends fundraiser celebration is scheduled for Saturday, November 19th, 6 p.m. at the Flamboyant Theater in the Clement in New York City. This event is in support of Arts for Art, the organization dedicated to the exceptional creativity that originated in the African-American multi-arts jazz culture that utilizes improvisation to express a larger, more positive dream of inclusion and freedom. For more information, artsforart.org. Elysium Furnace Works presents pianist Alexis Marcello and multi-instrumentalists Daniel Carter and J.D. Perrin at the Howland Cultural Center in Beacon, New York, Saturday night, 8 p.m. For more information, howlandculturalcenter.org or visit Elysium Furnace Works on Facebook. Two other performances on Saturday night. At 8 p.m. in Rochester, New York, the Stu Cutler Trio performs as part of the Bop Shop Records Fall Jazz Series. For more information, bopshop.com/events, and the Maria Schneider Orchestra at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark, New Jersey, 3 and 7:30 p.m. For more information, njpac.org. The Grammy-nominated Baylor Project with vocalist Brian Courtney Wilson will be at Sony Hall in New York City this Sunday, November 20th, 7 p.m. For more information, sonyhall.com. Jazz This Sunday at the Falcon in Marlboro, New York on November 20th at 7 p.m. as part of the Jazz Coalition series, pianist Helen Sung's two-part suite, Temporality. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. The Analog Jazz Orchestra and the Hudson Valley Youth Jazz Orchestra perform at Bridge Arts and Education on Sunday, November 20th, 4 p.m. in Kingston, New York. For more information, bridgeartsandeducation.org/events. And guitarist Margaret Slovak and her trio will be at the Jazz Gallery in New York City on Monday, November 21st, 7 p.m., performing music from their latest release, Ballad for Brad. For more information, margaretslovak.com. And now for upcoming releases. The group Long Toes self-release, Le Banquet. Vocalist Emma Smith's Meshuggah Baby on Emma Smith Music. Trumpeter Kate Hammond's self-release, Momentary Beauty. And vibraphonist Patricia Brennan's More Touch on Pyroclastic. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. My interview is with Juno Award-winning drummer, composer, and owner and operator of Orange Grove Publicity and TPR Records, Ernesto Cervini. His new release on TPR Records is Joy. So I want to thank you, Ernesto, for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
It's my pleasure.
You know, the one thing I can say about you is that you are not shy. You have kept fans updated through Facebook on your whereabouts as you've swept through different provinces in Canada, touring in support of Joy. And you've posted recording and performance footage, interviews, and reviews. It's like you're the Energizer Bunny that never seems to run out of juice. And you really live up to the title of your release, Joy. How's it feeling right now?
That's great. It's been so much fun, especially touring this music because, you know, a lot of this music was made in the during the pandemic, and I never got to hear most of it perform live. And so it's so great to, not that we're necessarily out of the pandemic yet. I wouldn't go that far, but we're, you know, we're in a place where we can actually make music for people again. And so to hear this music and to be able to perform it live in front of people, and to connect with people who, both people who don't know the books that this music is based on and people who do, it's awesome to be able to perform for both of those groups of people. And it's just been a blast.
You mentioned before the pandemic, performers were multitasking then as they are now. leading bands, managing record labels, and overseeing live and streaming events. It sounds exhausting to me, actually. My question to you is, as you're touring, who is minding the Orange Grove publicity store? Is it your kids? Are they old enough to do Zoom calls for you?
Well, actually, my kids do help me stuff envelopes. I have...
They've been doing that for years.
That's true. Okay. That's old news. But they still help me, which is nice. Well, I do... I work with Dan Fortan, the wonderful bass player. He's my right-hand man at Orange Grove. So he helps. But the good thing about a business like publicity is that it's not really dependent on where you are. It's mostly done through emails and, you know, Zoom calls and phone calls. So, but really 99% of it is through email. So I can kind of do it wherever I am. So, you know, we'll be in the car driving. I was just in Mississippi last week. What day is it? It's Monday, right? So I was just in Mississippi last week and we were driving and I was sitting in the front seat with my computer doing work, you know, using the hotspot for my phone to get stuff done while we're. So, I mean, it is something that I have to tend to on a daily basis, but it's something that I can do anywhere. So I just try and get up a little earlier than everybody else and get it done. Just like I do when I'm at home. Usually I do my Orange Grove work between 6 and 7 in the morning. On a daily basis, that's when I get the most of it done. Mm-hmm. Is I get up an hour before anyone else in my house, and I do it then.
Yeah. Now, are you on sabbatical because you still teach? Correct.
Mm-hmm. No sabbatical for me.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'm still teaching. I teach at the University of Toronto. I teach a class. I teach first year improv, and then I teach a bunch of private students. But I have it all smushed into one day, so I teach from 9 to 5 on Wednesdays without a break. And then I'm done for the week. So I just kind of packed it all in.
Oh, mercy Lord. That's exhausting.
It's a long day, but you know what? It doesn't, I mean, I really enjoy teaching. I really do. And it doesn't feel that long. Like it's hard to explain because when I think about working from 9 to 5 without a break, it sounds insane. And I would never want to do that. And yet I never get to the end of the day. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I get to the end of the day. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I'm done, but I'm not wiped out. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's really fun teaching these students. I love working with, you know, university level students and cause they're so excited and inspired and that keeps me excited and inspired. And, it's wonderful.
And they get the best of you because you like come off of the road, teach, go back on the road, come back and teach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joy was inspired by a series of mystery books written by Lois Penny. Did the text of these books prompt you to write the music and lyrics for Singers?
I feel like every song, I mean, every song is kind of, every song was written with that character or that situation or whatever the song is describing in mind. So it depended. I mean, I'm not a lyricist. So there's only one song on the album that actually has lyrics, and the lyrics are a poem that's written by the poet that lives in the town of Three Pines. They're actually written by a Canadian poet named Marilyn Plessner. But everything else, the other two songs that have voices, it's just wordless voice. And, the idea to use voice, it kind of just felt natural. I didn't try to force anything on this music. I kind of just listened to what the music was telling me. You know, does that make sense? Like
it does.
Yeah. I let the music and the character really inform the instrumentation for every song.
Are they at
there are a lot of firsts on this release. It's not only the fact that you have vocalists, it's the first time you've had a trumpet, clarinet, also some of the people, some of the players. It's the first time that you are working with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same thing. It was letting, you know, every other album I've ever done has been a bunch of music that I wrote for one band that I've been playing with. And usually it's a band that I've been playing with fairly steady. And so, you know, we developed this book of repertoire over, I don't know, you know, months or years, depending on the band. And then we record. But for this one, because all the music is really inspired by these characters and by these books, it made sense to me to just, you know, pick people that I thought would fill the spot perfectly. So, you know, on the first song, Three Pines, there's a guitarist named Don Scott on there who I've been playing with. We've been making music together since I was in university. We went to school together 20 years ago, and we're in an ensemble together back then at the University of Toronto. And we've been making music together pretty steadily the whole time. Like, I moved to New York for 4 years, so I didn't play with him then. But when I came back to Toronto, we started playing together right away. And we're actually in a Radiohead tribute band together. That's like the main thing that we do together. And it's really fun. He's the lead singer and guitarist. He sounds great. And it's so much fun to play Radiohead. But we had never recorded jazz together. And we've been playing together for so long. And when I thought that I wanted a guitar on that song, I was like, oh, I know who I'm going to get. And so it was just my opportunity to kind of, you know, work with people that I haven't had a chance to work with, but also, you know, again, just really paying attention to what I thought the songs needed and deserved. And then trying to find the right people for those.
And somehow you smooshed in three of the bands that you work with.
Yes. Yes. That was part of the plan. And I mean, the cool thing is I had started playing this music with those bands as soon as I wrote it. The ones that I did play with, you know, I think there's three or four with Turboprop. I should know this. I feel like it's four. And we started playing those right away. I arranged them for Turboprop almost immediately. As soon as I wrote them, I heard them as Turboprop songs. And then the same with Toontown. We play a song called Lacoste that's on here. And that one, that was one of the first songs I wrote. And so we started playing that one. Oh my gosh, it was 4 or 5 years ago that I kind of had this idea and I started writing some music. So, or maybe it wasn't that long. I don't know. Everything, all timelines are totally skewed now because of that year and a half that like nothing happened. So I don't know. Everything seems like it was 5 years ago and 5 months ago. It's all very confusing. But so I had played this music with those bands and I did want to be able to feature these bands that I play with as well as, you know, a group of musicians.
Wow. And I love that you mix business with pleasure. Not only had some of the players been hired to record with you, some of them are also Orange Grove publicity clients.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure.
That's what I call multitasking.
Well, I mean, it's been great, you know, working, doing Orange Grove and working in publicity. I've got to work with a lot of artists across Canada, especially many that I didn't know before. And then some who are my really close friends, which is, you know, it's a lot of pressure because they're my friends. So I want to do an amazing job for them and for their album and for their work. And so, you know, so that's something that's been really important to me. And so through that, I've got to meet some people that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise met. Unfortunately for this album, I didn't really get to bring people from across Canada to come record just because we recorded this. It was September of 2021. So, you know, we were still masking. We were all masking in the studio. And I don't remember if people were really flying that much yet. It was still pretty locked down. So, oh no, they were flying because Amy flew from New York to come and do it, but she had to jump through some hoops to do that. There's a lot of testing involved in that. But yeah, it, so I didn't really get to do that, but just with, there's so many fantastic musicians in Toronto, that deserve to be heard and that I wanted to work with. And you're right. There's, I think at least four people on here that I'd never recorded with before. Oh, five that I'd never recorded with before. Some who I'd played with a bunch and just, we hadn't recorded. And then some, oh no, six that I'd never recorded with before. And then some who I'd never made music with before. I mean, Felicity Williams is on the first track. She sings, one of the singers on the first track. I'd never made music with her until the day we recorded. The first time I made music with her was in the studio and we were recording.
Ernesto, you've made friends. I'm so happy for you.
Just a couple.
The majority of Joy is made up of instrumental tunes. Was it important to you that any of the players were familiar with the books?
Yes and no. What I did is before we would play this, like when we were rehearsing the music, I read them quotes from the books about the characters. So they had an idea. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have forced them all to read all 17 books. But that seemed, I feel like I would have had to pay them a lot more money. Like, oh, and also you need to read 17 novels. So I don't think actually, I don't think anyone, oh, except for my sister, Amy, who sings and co-produced it with me. I don't think anyone else has read all the books and maybe not even any of the books. They are now. I know they've been inspired to check them out now that, you know, now that it's out and we've been performing it. But it was important to me that they were familiar with the characters that we were, you know, portraying this. We were trying to portray with this music, because it's a little bit not to, I mean, it's a pretty nice comparison, so maybe I'll take it easy with it, but it's a little bit like Peter and the Wolf. It's like these songs that are supposed to represent these characters, and some of them are, you know, I think the shortest song on the album is a minute and 20 seconds. It's just like a little bit, just a little thing.
That's the one with the vocalization in it, is that right?
No, that one's a minute and 50 seconds. you're close. No, there's one called Olivier and Gabri, and it's just Tara on alto saxophone, Tara Davidson, William Karn on trombone, and myself on drums. And it's just like this little thing, you know, little piece. So I now, to be honest, I forget what the question was, but
was it important?
Oh, yes. For the people to have read the books. Again, I would have loved for them all to have been as deep into this world as I am. But, you know, it's not, I don't think that's realistic. But I think I've definitely, I know that some of them are reading the books now. And I've already bought the first book for at least one person who was on the album, and I will buy the first book for anyone else that's on the album that wants it, because I'm so happy to share this world.
Why don't you just start a book club?
Exactly. That's a good idea.
Just a suggestion.
It's a great idea.
Now let's talk about your co-producer, your sister, Amy, who you've said you've known all of your life.
Mm-hmm.
How does she complement your work?
Well, so for this album, it was a no-brainer to work with her. Amy and I have been, we've been close forever. I always looked up to her when I was younger. She was my big sister who was an amazing musician. Growing up, I have two sisters. I have two older sisters. And growing up, all three of us were studying classical piano. And then Amy studied saxophone as well. And then my sister Marisa studied flute, and I studied clarinet and drums. So we were all doing music all the time. And Amy, because she was the oldest, she was the most advanced, and she was just amazing. She was such an incredible classical piano player. And she was a really wonderful jazz saxophone player. So growing up, I always looked up to her. And then she moved to Boston and went to the New England Conservatory. And that was, I think I had just finished grade nine. So my, what does that mean? What's grade? I forget the.
Nine is 14. You're about 14.
So I was a, what do they call the, what's the first year? Is that sophomore? Sophomore is first year.
No, freshman.
Freshman. Then sophomore, second year. Then junior, senior.
Junior, senior.
I used to knew, when I lived in the US, I knew these things, but now it's all deteriorated. Replaced by, you know, pop lyrics from the 90s. but yeah, so when I finished my freshman year, she was already gone, actually. Yeah, my freshman year of high school, she moved. So then it was like she was out there making music and studying with all these amazing people. So anyways, I've looked up to her forever. Then I moved to New York and she and I became like best friends, especially the 2 years after my first 2 years in New York, I was at the Manhattan School of Music. But my 2 years after that, so I was really busy with school and hanging out with my friends, and I was on the Upper West Side and she was in the Village, and it's kind of far. So we didn't see each other as much. We saw each other a fair amount, and I'm sure we talked on the phone quite a bit. But after that, the 2 years after that, I lived in Brooklyn, and I was part of her band. I just talked to her every single day, and we hung out. We were best friends. We traveled together. We made music together. It was great. And then since I've moved back to Canada, we don't talk each other every day now. But almost every day. And so, and I'm all constantly bouncing ideas off her, musical and otherwise. And she, the same with me, like we're just kind of each other's, support. I mean, I'm really close with both of my sisters. But my other sister, Marisa, is a music teacher in the Toronto School Board. But she studied classical flute and then went and got her teaching degree. So she wasn't as well versed in the jazz world as Amy and I. That's what we do. And then she's the one that introduced me to these books. And she's one person I know who's more crazy about them than I am, who's read them more times than I have, who's like just as deep as I am in this world. My mom also loves the books. She's read them all as well. So it was kind of a no-brainer. And Amy really, because we've worked together so much, she knows me and she knows what I need. She knows, you know, like doing a recording session like this was it wasn't stressful because everyone did a great job and everyone was super professional. And so because that wasn't stressful, but it had the possibility of being very stressful. You know, some of the songs that we recorded, I'd never heard. When we went into the studio, that's never happened to me before. Like usually I go to the studio and we've just come off the road touring the music. So we get into the studio and it's like, all right, well, let's just play this music that we've been playing for 10 days in a row.
Yeah.
And it's easy. You know, you just go in, you play, it's fun and great. So this one was much more, it was very different for me. And so having Amy there meant the world because she could manage all that other stuff and just let me focus on the music. And she was the one that was kind of talking to the engineer and making sure all the sounds were good. And then she would come on and make sure I was happy. And she just knows how to talk to me. She knows, she can tell by, you know, every little pause, what that pause meant because I wasn't thinking, I was feeling something. Mm-hmm. And she can just interpret me way better than, I mean, except for maybe my wife, you know, and maybe my mom, but she understands me. So, and she understands the books and she knows a lot of these musicians. So it was just no brainer. And then it meant, you know, it was easy to have her sing on the album too, which I've never had her on any of my stuff. And I've been on some of her stuff, but she's never been on mine. So it was really nice for me to be able to share this project with her.
That was beautiful. Nice. Now, Ernesto, I'm going to give you the last word. What do you want to tell us? Maybe a question I didn't ask you on another upcoming project. I can't believe you have another upcoming project. You need sleep, my friend.
I'm recording in 3 weeks.
Oh,
We're recording. Yeah, we're recording a new Turboprop album. We're going on tour. I guess it's in about a month. We're going on tour at the beginning of December, and then we're going to record a new album. Because I haven't released a Turboprop album since
2019.
No. I think it was 2019. Yeah, it was 2019. That seems like a long time ago. I don't know. To me, that seems like, because the next one won't come out until 2023. That's 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Right? I don't know. That seems like a long time. So yeah, I'm going to do that. But yeah, I don't know. I think what's really important to me with this album, with Joy, is just, you know, that it's music that people who haven't read the books can still listen to and enjoy. It's just an album of nice music. And then if you are so inspired, I couldn't recommend these books any higher. They're incredible. They're so beautiful. They're so well written. I read before bed and I really look forward to it every night. I can't wait to, I'm reading the series for the third time now. I kind of can't stop reading these books. When I get to the end, I just start again. I just read them again.
For more information, orangegrovepublicity.com.
Yeah, so Louise Penny is still alive. She lives in the eastern townships of Quebec. So the town that she lives in is basically the town that inspired the town of Three Pines, which is where this stuff takes place. Her newest book comes out November. Let me see. I have it in my calendar because, of course, I will be there ready to read it. November 29th. And there's a series coming out on Amazon Prime called Three Pines, and that comes out on December 2nd.
So when are you going to do a joint interview with her?
Well, wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, why don't you ask her?
Well, the thing is, she's very busy promoting her new book.
Oh, everyone's
busy. And she's kind
of
a big deal. Like, she just wrote a book with Hillary Clinton.
But you've put out a release based on her work.
I know, and she has been very sweet. She knows about it.
Okay.
She's been very sweet. I've emailed her. I sent her the music. She sent me the nicest email back. So she has been very supportive. But I also think, you know, it's like, it's big business for her. This, you know, she's got to promote her new book.
Brother, maybe you ride the wave. You get in touch with her.
Yeah, I would love to. I'm hoping maybe we can do some sort of joint. I'm hoping she can come to a concert that I'm putting on of this music, because what we do is the vocalist also is also the narrator for the concert. And they, before almost every song, they read an excerpt that describes the character or from one of Louise Penny's books. So wouldn't it be amazing if she was the one reading these excerpts? Like, it would be incredible.
You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com. For more information about the show, jazzfluxus.com. And now for some music.
And and tell me that you love me.
Thank you.
three releases due out tomorrow, Friday, November 18th. From Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based bassist Lauren Fall's second release, A Little Louder. This is her tune, Take Me. Seven of the eight compositions are hers, with her band, saxophonist David French, guitarist Trevor Giancola, pianist Todd Pentney, and drummer Trevor Falls. Before this, finding their roots in the hard bop tradition, the group led by guitarist Nicholas Lanctot, Montreal, Canada-based Longto, with their first full-length release, Le Banquet. We heard the tune, Too Bad. They'll celebrate the release at Petit Campus in Montreal on November 23rd. Having collaborated and recorded with Michael Bublé, Robbie Williams, Georgie Fame, and Seal, vocalist Emma Smith, out with her first new solo release in 10 years, Meshuggah Baby, a nod to her Jewish heritage. On Emma Smith Music, we heard Sit on My Knee and Tell Me That You Love Me. And from the 6-CD set of performances by pianist Lenny Tristano, personal recordings 1946 to 1970, a collaborative release in 2021 by Mosaic and Dot Time Records. From disc 4, we heard That Trading Feeling from 1956 with Peter Ind on bass and Tom Wayburn on drums. Lenny Tristano died on November 18th, 1978. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced for and airing on WGXC 90.7 FM, a listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WGXC. WGXC.org. For more information about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or jazzfluxus.com. Thank you.